NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
Y'all, now that we're in the thick of summer, you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Well, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track, reaching your goals. I love this stuff so much. The reason I love Factor so much is because, like, with my schedule, I work from home if I'm not on the road doing shows. And, like, oftentimes it literally just happened to me. I'll be running behind. Oh, I forgot to eat lunch. I got to eat lunch, but I don't have much time left. I go in there. I'm not going to whip up an entire meal. I love to cook, but I like to cook dinner. Lunchtime, I want it to be easier for me. I want it to be convenient. But a lot of things that's easy and convenient are not also good. Not so for Factor. Factor is like genuinely gourmet type meals that come fully cooked, ready to go. You just heat and eat, and it's really upped the convenience level of my life out here. It's been a godsend, quite frankly. So if you're too busy with summer plans to cook like I was, but you want to make sure you're eating well, use Factor. With Factor, you can skip the extra trip to the grocery store, the chopping, prepping, cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in 2 minutes. So all you got to do is heat and enjoy, and then you can get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Joe, won't you tell them some more about Factor here?
First off, I echo everything you said. I love it. I also love to cook, but at lunchtime, it's like I'm ready to go record with Trey. I got 2 seconds, and I've always been against the heatable things, but Factor sort of changed my whole life on that. And especially if you're out there and you're looking for calorie conscious options this summer, you're trying to get that, you know, six pack back because it's been hiding since the winter, baby. They got dietitian approved calorie smart meals with or around less than 550 calories per serving. And if you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer, try the protein plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. I know that y'all gonna be doing your wild thing on the boat and drinking and everything, but you can sort of make up for it with Factor's health conscious meals. Round out your meal, replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 plus add-ons, including breakfast items like our delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, ooh-wee, bacon and cheddar egg bites, and potato bacon and egg breakfast skillet. Or for just an easy wellness boost, try the refreshing beverage options like cold press juices. Here's the deal. Head to factormeals.com/POA50 and use code POA50 to get, you guessed it, 50% off. That's code POA50 at factormeals.com/POA50 to get 50% off. If I say 50 one more time, I'm going to lose it. But you should go to factormeals.com/POA50. You'll get 50% off. Also use the code POA50. Good food. 50.
What's up, Airheads? We're back. I am in the virtual Airstream studios. I'm just on the other side of it. Normally, I'm right back there. If you're watching on YouTube, that's where the magic typically happens. But that's also where my air conditioner is. And Normally, I turn it off to record, but it's hotter than the devil's anus out here in Southern California right now. Yeah, we're another historic heat wave. Seems like every damn summer there's another historic heat wave. But maybe they literally are breaking records every single year. It wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, I needed that AC on, so I scooted over here. But, Joe, you're in your normal climes there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. Also hotter than shit. I don't do well in hot. I do a lot better in hot now that I'm not carrying the extra 50 pounds that I used to. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm still a person that no matter how much weight I lose, I've still got, like, I've been using my, I go on walks all the time, you know? And so me and my son use the same diaper rash medication every day. I'll be rubbing Desitin on my legs and shit. But, and so I've noticed that, like, oh, I can, like, the summer isn't as horrible for me anymore, because really it was just that I was, you know, lugging around a lot of extra weight. But it's been so hot the past couple weeks that I think I could be in the best shape of my life and still be miserable. Like, I'm outside for 5 minutes and I'm already like jumped in the swimming pool wet, except for it's hot wet, not cool wet. And hot wet ain't it.
No.
Cool hot wet. Ain't even,
yeah.
That's cool wet.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Cool wet.
Not cold wet. Cold wet.
Cold wet also don't hit. No.
I'd rather warm wet than cold wet.
Yeah, cold wet definitely. Cold wet will kill you.
Yeah, cold wet will kill you. I'm glad that you brought this up, actually, because that rolls right into something I wanted to talk to you about up top. I don't know if you know this, but breaking news, and we don't get political on this show. I think we can do this without being political. I genuinely do. Breaking news. It is possible, Trey, that Joe Biden accidentally broke royal protocol. I can't even say the word. Broke royal protocol this past week. Did you hear about this?
I don't know. Maybe. I saw that people were. It's not from talking to the pores, is it? Because no. I saw. Because. Did you see there was a clip that people were getting all fired up about because they were saying that it proved Joe Biden was like, you know, had dementia or whatever they're always saying because it was
he deigned to speak to the impoverished.
Yes. Except not even the impoverished, like the microphone headed red guard fellers, the Royal Guard.
Oh, yeah.
They were walking down through there past a bunch of the
they're
Royal Guardsmen.
To him.
Well, so Joe Biden. It's just this clip. You can't even hear him, but Joe Biden's like talking to one of those guards and Charles is like very clearly trying to like pull him away from him. Like over this way, we don't do that, Joe. You know, and you can't tell what he's saying, but like
grandpapa
and people were posting it because they were like, you know, look how lost he is. He don't even know who he's talking to or whatever. And it's like, I mean, maybe, or maybe he's might, just yeah, like I mean, that talking to a dude, you know?
Yeah. He could but just anyway, be a regular idiot.
I saw that, or just somebody that was like, you know, what's a hat about? You know what I mean? Like,
dude, that's a very Joe Biden thing. So, like, yeah. You know, what happened was it wasn't that. I was expecting it to be something like that. Like, when I heard Joe Biden breaks royal protocol, my thing was like, oh, I bet you that he looked at King Charles and was like, hey, bucko, how's it going? Huh? Mm-hmm. What do you say? What do you say, old chap? Sport, you know? But no, they were actually, he's over there talking to Prince Charles about, again, this is related, what they can do for climate change. Cause you know, Prince Charles, like, say what you will about the dude, he walks the walk and talks the talk on climate change. And he's been talking about that shit since like the 80s. He's made that like, and he's gotten some very unpopular feedback because of that. But he like, even when he didn't really have to be doing shit, when he was a younger prince, he was like, sort of like, okay, this is like, you know how like the first lady gets one thing that they get to be crunk about for 8 years?
Yeah.
That was like his.
What's Jill's? What's Dr. Jill Biden's? You know, because I know with Michelle Obama, it was
making sure Joe don't fall down the stairs. I think that's her.
Michelle Obama was trying to take away everybody's cheeseburgers, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah.
Everybody had to have broccoli.
Trying to tell me what my God given right as an American to have a big fat fuck kid.
Yeah, right.
Bitch. Laura, yeah,
what was Laura Bush's?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
What was Melania's?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Bully the Mexican kids.
That was it. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Only Slovenians good imports. Yeah, yeah, whatever the fuck.
Anyway, so that it's like that with royals too, and like, that was his.
Yeah, that's his thing. That's his thing, and he's always been like, you know, regardless of the grief that he gets for it from his people, he's like, no, I'm telling you, the fucking polar bears and whatever, you know? So they're over there. It's funny to me because, like, Charles invited Biden for a tea party ahead of the NATO summit, where the NATO summit is going to talk about global warming and stuff like that. And I do think it's nice that, like, Joe, you know, before going to NATO, where actual shit happens, to talk to actual important people, he stops off and is like, all right, let's let Charles thinks that he's actually in a position of power or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like the king, we all know that the king can't really. I mean, I guess I talked about in that one episode where the queen actually did have a lot of power. She just refused to execute her power. Mm-hmm. Would that be the right phrase?
She had a lot of power. She just chose not to.
Yeah. So now I'm thinking maybe Charles, You employ it. Yeah. So now I'm thinking utilize maybe Charles it. Will be like, yeah, utilize it. Now I'm thinking maybe Charles will be like, well, fuck that. I can actually do shit. But anyway, so Biden arrives by helicopter. He gets his whole, like, you know, the royal salute or whatever. The royal band even played the Star Spangled Banner. Pretty fucking sweet. You know, pretty cool. They had a roundtable discussion about climate change. By the way, this is actually the first time that Joe Biden has met him as king. You know, the last time he met him, because he didn't go to the coronation. So the last time he met him, he was still a prince. And I guess this makes Joe Biden the first president in history who has met with Queen Elizabeth and King Charles. So can't take that away from him. You know what I mean? So here's what he did. It's just when he was leaving, he tapped him on the back. That's fucking
the
it.
King?
He tapped the king on the back.
He just kind of tapped it on the back. And like, it was a big fuss over there, like, of people being like, yeah, fucking president comes over, he don't respect the fucking, you know, whatever, yada, yada. But apparently Charles don't give a shit, because Charles don't roll like that. He's not old school. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, protocol.
Also, like, dude, fuck all that. Like, yeah,
it's stupid.
We don't have a king. The president's like, the closest thing we have to a king is the president. So it's like, they should be equals. I mean, really, Joe Biden is the president is like the superior to the king, because the president has actual power or whatever. So, like, to say the president is not allowed to touch the king or queen or
it's
whatever in any
dumb
regard is bullshit. But it's also like, I feel, and this came up before, but I'm pretty sure I've read before something, maybe it was on The Crown, even when the Kennedys came, or I heard somewhere.
Yeah, John, like, fucked up a couple times.
Well, I heard somewhere that we didn't, as a general rule, we didn't play a lot of that shit, like, yeah, on purpose, like
LBJ
kneeling or whatever, like, yeah, that type of thing. Or like, no, we don't roll like that. That was the whole deal. That's why we handed you that L in the first place, is because we don't want to fuck with all that. So, like,
which I agree with, for the record.
Me too.
My point is, though, like, I think that I don't think Elizabeth would have made a big fuss about it. And clearly, obviously, we're not in the old times where, like, if someone broke royal protocol, they could hang them or put them in the fucking tower. But, like, I have heard all this talk, and a bunch of stuff I've read is like, even though he's old, Charles is going to be a really good transition king, because he's always been way more modern. And, like, even though he is in his 70s, like, he's just supremely modern. He got that from his dad. Cause, like, if you'll remember, Prince, who was his fucking racist ass daddy? What was his name? I can't remember.
Philip.
Yeah. Philip. Like, As old as Philip was, and from the old school as he came, he was super modern. Like, he's the one that convinced him, hey, we should televise the coronation. We should do this. We should do that. And I think that Charles got a lot of that from him. And Charles is going to be the first one to be like, okay, look, I'm not saying you can't curtsy. Of course you can fucking curtsy if you want to curtsy. But if you don't curtsy, I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to save the whales, motherfucker. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I think the first, and we haven't done like a checkup on the king in a while, because this isn't a monarchy show, obviously. But there at the beginning of his kingdom, it seemed like every week there was some fucking bullshit where, like, he was bitching because his ink pen didn't have any ink in it or some shit. But, it, you know, lately the things I'm kind of hearing are like, okay, Charles is kind of like, he's kind of settling into this shit and being a pretty good modern king. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's. I was thinking, you said this isn't a monarchy show, and it just got me thinking about how, like, you know, they're not. When anybody in this country says the monarchy, they mean them,
of course.
But, like, there are others still out there. You know what I mean? Like, every now and then I'll hear about a country having
Spain, I believe.
Right. Well, every now and then I'll hear about another country. Like, I feel like recently I heard there was some, like, tabloid type story about, like, an Italian princess or a Spanish princess or something, you know, whoring around or something like that. I don't remember. But, like, I read that and I was like, God damn. They got prince. You know, I didn't know Spaghetti Land had princesses.
Me
you
either.
Know.
I thought Colin took care of that.
Yeah. And I mean, I may be, you know, maybe they don't specifically, but I just, like, there's more of them out there than you think.
Yeah, we need to do a whole episode on that. Countries that we'll title it Countries with Monarchs That May Surprise You. I'm pretty sure that, like, Norway and a couple of them Dutchy, Deutsche, boys, they've got some. Yeah. I'm
Norway does. That, right?
They're all white. You can be racist to whites, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's, I'm sure that we have at least one listener that's offended when I call their people hoingy doingy doingy.
Like,
yeah. I mean, are they not hoingy doingy doingy? Is that
exactly
not what they are?
How they are.
Yeah, that's how they be.
Y'all they can talk piss fish too.
Yeah, they piss fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew they ate fish that didn't hit, but I didn't know it was peed on.
It's not peed on, but it's like, I've never seen it, smelt it, and let alone tasted it, but I've heard it described as like the fish they have, it's like, they like,
offensive.
They like bury it in the ground for a month or two or something in the wintertime, something like that, and it like ferments. It's fermented.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
called.
It's got a lot of ammonia, and so people say it's kind of pissy. It's sort of piss fish, you know. There's different variations of it. One of them's called sastrumming.
Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of. There's one that's like how Malort is to Chicago. This is to them. Like it's there.
Sastrumming is like that, but in the different countries they have different versions of it. I think. Do what?
Whatever the fuck. While you're looking it up or thinking about it, I did have one question I wanted to ask you that's not at all POA related, but it is food related, and we're talking about food right now, so I'm going to make it work. I'm asking you this with zero context, even though I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to figure it out since it's me asking. But just honest reaction. If it's the only thing that you're eating, do you find 12 pieces of bacon to be a ridiculous amount of bacon? If it's the only thing you're eating. Thank you,
bro.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a little wild to sit down and just eat a bowl of bacon, you know.
Not if that's what you have.
And nothing else. But like, if that's all you're doing, no, not at all. How many pieces are generally in like one pack that you buy at the store? I know some of it's thick 24? Cut, some of it's not.
Maybe.
Is it that many? I don't think it's that many. Is it that many? Maybe it is.
Hmm. Because seems like what I did was eat half a pack of bacon.
And packs vary. I think some of them are 12 ounces, some of them are a pound, whatever. It depends
sometimes
on the brand.
It's just the thickness.
How thick it's cut. Yes, that all is a variable here. But, like, dude, I'll eat, like, I could eat a whole pack of bacon.
Easy.
Like, without any issues whatsoever. I mean, I don't, but, like, I totally could.
Well, I did, but the reason is because we're about to go to the lake. So, like, right as soon as I know we're about to leave for a week, I look through the fridge and go, what can't be here when I get back? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like you. I don't like food waste. I hate throwing shit away. Like, and I'm not necessarily worried about the money, but, like, it does suck to spend money on something and then not at all use it. So, like, when it comes down to that, I'm like, I look at the milk, all the dairy shit. I'm like, what do I need to cook with? Do I need to – even if I'm not going to eat, I'm like, what do I need to give to my sister, whatever. And we had a half a pack of bacon, 12 pieces of bacon, and I was like, this ain't going to make it until we get back from the lake. And I was like, fuck it. And so for lunch, I heated up and ate 12 pieces of bacon. Didn't think shit about it. And then Amber was telling me that it was a lot. And I was like, I don't think so. And then I put it in the thread and Mark was giving me shit about it. And I made the point of like, okay, maybe no one would order, hey, I'd like 12 pieces of bacon. But if we're talking about just in terms of how much meat it is, I don't even think that's a steak. Like that's a regular size steak. You know what I mean? Like bacon is a tiny crispy, like when you look at it before it's cooked, it looks like a lot of shit, but then it be shriveling up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this candy.
Dude, Mark don't know when it comes to food, dude.
No,
which is why he's, like, got abs and his body does hit is because he don't hit when it comes to food. But when talking about food stuff, you can just immediately discount whatever Mark. Smart Mark is not smart. I guess he's smart, but he don't hit.
He don't know what hits.
He don't know what hits at all. No.
Drew's similar in that regard. He sometimes.
Yeah, Drew's way less egregious than Mark, in my
opinion. That's true,
because
Drew. When it comes to trash shit, Drew knows what's up.
Right.
But Mark, you know, again, I know this don't have shit to do with the show, but like I was blown away because like I'm like you. If there's 24 pieces, if a full pack of bacon is 24 pieces, then I can damn sure eat 24 pieces of fucking bacon. Dude, I wasn't even a little bit full. I should have eaten four eggs with it as well. Like I'm not really full. I mean, it was a lot, but.
If you're making yourself one serving of eggs, is it four?
No, usually three. Because I always, when I normally cook eggs, it'll be for me and Amber at the same time, and I cook six and then divide it, so it's normally three. You know what I mean? It depends on, like, if I'm scrambling, definitely three. Fried sunny side up type situation, oftentimes I just do two because that's what fits in the pan most conveniently, the one that I'm making. And oftentimes, really the only time I'm ever making sunny side up is because I want to put it on a sandwich, and two is the perfect size to fit the bun. You know what I mean?
Right. Because then it's like the whole area is yolk, the whole area under the bun instead of like an isolated area where if you smush it, it could squirt out one side. Now you got better coverage and it squirts out all sides, which makes it harder.
Do it.
It's absolutely the yolk that do it. People that don't fuck with the guy. I worked with this girl once and I told her about, I said I was like wanting to figure out soft boiled eggs or whatever.
I figured them out.
And she was like, she didn't know what that was. And what? Yeah, she wasn't familiar with it. And she knows boiled eggs. She's like, "What do you mean soft boiled eggs?" And I was like, "Well, it's like a boiled egg where the yellow is still runny." And bro, she was like, absolutely not. Revolted. Wow. Like she was like, she thought like she was the type, like, you know how sometimes, you know how some people boil eggs so hard they're like green, the yolk turns like green or whatever. And it's like chalk, green, gray chalk that's just super dry.
Yeah.
She was one of them. No, and it's fun that my mother-in-law, you know, bless her heart, she's got this little egg cooking device, egg boiler, you know? And she's like, perfect, absolutely perfect. That's what I love about it. You don't have to time it. You just put it in there, hit the setting, and it's perfect every time, bruh. Cooked them to death, son. You know, maybe that is perfect, but like, yeah, I was kind of excited because I was like, "Oh, that's neat." Take the guesswork out of it.
Exactly.
Cracked them open. I'm like, "This ain't it."
Well, for the record, my granny didn't make them soft boiled, but she made them the hard boiled way. But before they were gray and shitty, and I'm totally fine with that. I'd rather have them soft boiled, but like a good meemaw hard boiled egg.
I love hard boiled eggs.
Me too.
Not when they're overdone.
No, fuck no. And I'd prefer,
I mean, even then I'll still eat them. Like,
fuck yeah, me too, bro. The white's still fine. No dogs. And but I would rather have it severely underdone than severely overdone any day of the fucking week. But like my trick to it is like, if you're going to make boiled eggs, soft boiled eggs, what's your whole move? Tell me from beginning to end what you do, and I'll tell you what I do.
I went through a spell where I was making them frequently, but now it's been a while. I sort of felt, you know, I did that and I sort of burnt myself out on them or something. I haven't had them in a while, but I'd put them in cold water.
Yes.
On a pot, put the pot on the eye, bring it to a boil, and then turn it off. And then
7.5 minutes.
I was going to say 7 minutes. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
If you want it hard but not green, go 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. But if you want it soft boiled, go 7, 7.5. Absolutely money. And that kind of takes the guesswork because as soon as it starts boiling, you just turn that shit off. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know. Like, they just stay in there. They slowly get to temp. You're not shocking the egg. It's sort of hanging out in there, getting to know the water, you know, slowly getting to a place and then pop, stay in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
same people that don't fuck with the runny eggs are also the whole like cook the shit out of my steak. They're and I feel so bad for some of these, the old people, it's just pure ignorance because when they were younger, like during the Depression and shit, before ice boxes were prevalent and when there was still a lot of diseases and like meat handling wasn't good, they had to do these things because people were dying, but they've never fucking let it go. Like they don't realize that we live in a different time now and their lives are worse for it, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I thought I was probably at least a teenager or maybe older before I realized that steak actually does hit because
you'd always got it bullshitted.
I had only been given fucking extra well done steak because like my mama cat, you know, my grandparents, and then because then my mom too, never like just, you know, can't have no pink in it. That's bad for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'd only ever had it like fucking shoe leather. And I was always like, I don't know why people act like steak is some fancy shit that hits. This is fucking awful, you know? And then boy, you talk about a revelation.
Yeah.
When you have it the right way.
Me too, dude. I mean, I remember the only time I ever had it was at like family cookouts and stuff. And I'll say not my dad cooking it, because when my dad cooks it, it is a fucking revelation. But I'd only had it as a kid at like, you know, you go into your uncle's barbecue, there's the whole family there, one person's running the grill, they only know how to make it well done. And not mm-hmm. only that, they're buying shit-ass sirloin, which, by the way, no offense to anybody who sirloin's their choice because of price or whatever, but, like, if you're going to get that cut of meat, you've got to treat it different to make it hit. And they weren't. They were just fucking throwing it on there, cooking the shit out of it, high heat for a long time. And then my mama one time suggested at the house that we have this thing that I'd never heard of called filet mignon. Mm-hmm. And my dad cooked it the correct way, which is, you know, now I'm a rare guy, but back then it was medium rare. And I'm the same as you. I had it and I was like, oh, this is what the fucking mobsters in the movies are eating. Okay, I get this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, buddy, it does hit. So I looked it up earlier. I'm not going to read all of them, but here's some other places that still have Kings and or Queens. Andorra, which I thought was a planet in Star Wars.
Me too. I've never heard of Andorra in my life.
Let me see here. Andorra, the Principality of Andorra is a sovereign landlocked country and microstate on the Iberian Peninsula. Oh, Lord.
So it's like real Pluto small. Of states?
Yeah, and I knew they had those. Like Monaco is one of those, and Liechtenstein and Vatican City, technically.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This one, I hadn't heard of this one, but apparently, yeah, it's between Spain and France.
How you and, that, but have a king?
Well, I don't know. Less for him to do, you know?
That's true. But would he ever win? Who'd he ever beat? You know what I mean?
I don't know. And how did he not get beat? Forever yeah, right. ago, like yeah, yeah. the way like they Clinton, was with taking each other's countries yeah. and land and stuff. I don't know how a tiny yep. ass little country the size of Rhode Island or smaller.
That's what I'm saying. Survived. Like yeah. plenty of hidden places got took. You know what right. I mean? Like plenty yeah. of hidden places got took that you were like, there ain't no way they're gonna get took, and they did. So like, how the fuck you're a mind? The only thing I can think of is people were like, it's not even worth taking this shit. But I don't think any king has ever felt that way.
Andorra is believed to have been created by Charlemagne himself.
The god.
Ruled by the Count of Urgell until 988. Ain't even Urgell. Got a one in front of that motherfucker. 988. Hey, you know it's old.
That's true. If it don't have a one in front of that motherfucker, it's old.
And the present principality was formed by a charter in 1278. So this version of it has been going for that goddamn long. It's currently headed by two co-princes, the Bishop of Urgell in Catalonia, Spain, and the President of France. So I don't sound like I got a king to me.
No, it doesn't. That co-king? You can't have a co-king.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't know. But anyway, they also got, or so you got Belgium, Denmark, Luxembourg.
Yeah, I knew that one.
The Netherlands, Norway, Spain, and Sweden.
Yep.
All have kings, but they're all of limited power.
Dude.
You
know what we should do? Now, this is going to take a lot of work, which means I might not actually be able to do it, but I'll try. We should, take all the kings and queens that currently still are, talk about each one of them, and then have, a bracket of, which one, if they all went to war, which one would be the king of the kings? You know what
I
mean?
How you do it, though, is, via war? Because we've had this argument before, actually, about us. This is way before this show. It's not before the first iteration of this show, 10 years ago. But the argument about, being a king, right? Who would hit it being a king or whatever? And you were always I'd hit it so hard being a king. And I was it depends on what type of king. And yet, right. And it's because I don't think you'd hit for, but you would be merciful. You'd be benevolent, but you'd also be, you'd be like King Robert. You'd be like Bobby B, right?
Yeah.
Just whores and turkey legs and drunk all the goddamn time.
I wouldn't want to take over nobody.
Right. But you might get took over.
Yeah. No, I think that would be my problem is I wanted to say I'd be more like a Henry the Eighth, but that's only in a getting drunk respect. I am a way better person than Henry the Eighth. You know what I mean? There's no way I would take over anyone just to be I must expand my kingdom. I couldn't fucking do that. I guarantee I'd be shit, this hits. Just as is. You know what I mean? As is. This fucking rules. Therefore, I'd get took because I'm pretty sure that being a king and being the CEO are very similar where it's if you're not growing, you're dead.
Yeah. You're also, not that I'm not, but you in particular, you pretty paranoid and neurotic and anxiety ridden.
Yeah.
And kings be getting poisoned and shit. And,
I'd go for tasters.
Yeah, right. Taster. Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you had tasters and they started killing over dead, what would you do?
That's another problem right there is everybody knows you can get me to taste something. Dude, how many fucking banana puddings have we been sent to our green rooms and we didn't even ever ask who sent this before we was nine thumbs deep in a motherfucking banana pudding? We'd get killed easy.
Right. But if you was a king though, and that was actually I just feel like you'd get utterly consumed with paranoia.
Yeah.
I think in between the drunken and the whoring and whatnot.
I am paranoid, but contradicting though, I'm also a very trusting and pretty loyal person. So I feel like if I had a good hand and I had a good court, I don't know. If I could surround myself with some good people, I could feel like I was being taken care of. If I was the king and you were, you'd be a great hand, by the way. Mm-hmm. You would fucking rule as a hand. I think you'd be a good king too, but you're probably the best hand someone like me could have. I'm very Robert and you're very Ned, except for Ned was kind of a fucking dumbass. So I don't know if I want to, but you're more who was it? You're more like Tywin. He's a little book queer.
Not
Tyrion.
Way more.
Tyrion.
Oh, okay.
Tyrion.
All right. Okay.
You're more Tyrion than you are Ned, but you've got Ned's loyalty. That's for sure.
Yes. I want to come back to this because I want to know. That's the whole you said. Let's have a bracket of kings, and it's well, how do you? What are the determining factors? I want to come back to that. But you mentioned
that.
You mentioned Tyrion, though.
Yes.
You know the shit. I know you know because you sent it to the text thread. You know what's going on with Peter Dinklage right now?
Nope.
So this fin to be a minefield, perhaps. But
oh no, is something bad? Has he done something bad?
It depends. That's what I want to know. What you think? So Disney, Walt Disney Company, they cannot stop making these goddamn live action remakes of their animated classics.
You don't like any of them?
Some of them are okay. I feel like most of them are
absolute joyless cash grabs.
Yes, nothing special at best. Like, I was really pumped about the Lion King one, and it was just not.
I thought Beauty and the Beast was pretty good. But I like Matthew Crawley, and, you know, I thought it was. You know what it anyway, is? My niece loves it. That's why I love it.
Yeah. But they just can't stop with these movies. So Snow White's coming up soon. Snow White and the Seven. I don't know. We'll figure it out because they. So as I understand it, this is how it played out. They were planning on doing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and they were going to hire little people, dwarves, real life dwarves, to play the Seven Dwarves in the movie, right? Because, you know, representation. Whatever.
Of course.
Like, obviously, like, you could never, you know, that's the thing now. Like, you can't hire a regular sized person to play a little person. Everybody knows that, right?
No.
And, dude, not that they, think not about that they should.
No, I know, but dude, think about, okay, it's different. No, yeah, no, it's the same thing. Think about how different the casting of Lord of the Rings would be. Like, you wouldn't get.
Well, fucking, I saw that's, yeah, I opened for Brad Hobbits Williams.
Are fictitious.
I opened for Brad Williams years ago at Side Splitters when I was still Knoxville Comics. So this is like fucking, I mean, this is like, I don't know, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that or more. If y'all don't know, Brad Williams is a very, 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 very funny little person comic. And he,
I was going to say very, 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 very short comedian. That's what I thought. Right. But he is funny as fuck.
He's so funny. But anyway, he's a nice guy too. But he, then 10 years ago, I think those Hobbit movies were coming out, not the Lord of the Rings, but the Hobbit movies. And he had a whole bit just railing on, because this was before anybody was talking about representation or whatever. And all in the Hobbits and those Hobbit movies, there's like seven or eight of them or however many they are. And they're all played by regular size actors just made to look like, you know, dwarves. And he had a whole bit about how fucked up and shitty that was and how, you know, like, why can't you just hire a dwarf to do it, whatever. So anyway, if they made those movies now, this is a perfect example. I don't know what they'd do. Cause anyway, so Disney was like, well, we got it easy. We'll just we'll find some dwarves, right?
Right.
They're out here. They're about, they're looking for work. They're tired of getting thrown, you know?
And it's not like they're going to be the stars of the movie. That would be the difference. It's like Frodo is the star. So you're having to risk like a non-famous person playing your star, and hopefully this dwarf, of course you would just get Peter Dinklage, I guess. But like,
well, no, you wouldn't, because that was the plan. And evidently and I haven't listened to it, but I guess Peter Dinklage was on. I read all of this on Reddit. Okay. Of course I did. But Peter Dinklage, I guess, was on WTF, and I don't even know when, but I guess he was on there and he said that, you know, he found it disappointing and it didn't hit for him and all this stuff, because it's like, his point, I think, was like, it's like being, they're always elves or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's
easy
another
for Dinklage to say though.
Exactly. He's like, it's another very stereotypical type of role for a little person. It's always an elf. It's always the whatever.
That I think seven dwarf actors would love to fucking play and get the paycheck.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing right there. So anyway, he said that. And so now, I guess, and I'm not saying it's because of him or what he said. I don't know, but Disney has now backtracked and said they're not going to do that. So like, it's just going to be seven dudes, Snow White and the Seven Dudes, you know, or whatever. It. No.
Dude,
fucking dumb as shit.
Now, granted, like, what I was going to say before you brought up the Peter Dinklage thing was, like, I think we really all need to do something that we never even think about in a situation like this, which is, let's let the little people community tell us how we should feel about this. Now, granted, Peter Dinklage has, right? Now, he's only one member of the little people community.
So he's also the most famous and successful one, you know what I mean?
So, yes, of course.
This isn't me saying this, but somebody on Reddit said yesterday, they were like, yeah, the Dinklage got to the top and then pulled the little step stool up behind him.
But that's a great point, though. And like, obviously, I respect Peter Dinklage is allowed to have whatever opinion that he can have. And I certainly respect him for having it. But yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, dude, you also like Tyrion Lannister was a dwarf. Like, that was part of his character. It's not like he was a regular-sized person, and they go, but we're going to let Peter Dinklage play it because it doesn't matter. He was cast because he was short, 100%. They also did him a lot of good favors in not making him look any other way like what Tyrion was described in the book. He got to be fucking handsome, which he is. Again, I respect Tyrion for saying that, but it's fucking really easy for someone who made their fucking career playing exactly what he's talking about and on one of the biggest cultural phenomenon shows that has ever been. So, like, yeah, it is that. But I would like, just at large, no pun intended, to hear what the little people community think, because I guarantee you, I fucking guarantee you, there are seven fucking little people actors that are going, no, I'm cool with it. You know what I mean? I'm
absolutely way, bro,
cool with it. Like, dude, like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, I think about like wrestling sometimes with little people, and like it's like a trope in wrestling where it's like, oh, if we're gonna have women, we gotta have, you know, it's like midgets in wrestling. That's what they call the shows, not what I'm referring to people with, but that's a thing. And like, I'm sure that there's some people, well, I know there is some people, they're like, oh, it sucks that, you know, whenever they have the midget wrestling, it's like that's the whole point of it. But it's like, well, yeah, though, like it would be wild if it was a fucking, like, you can't have a 3-foot motherfucker go up against Hulk Hogan and let me suspend my disbelief. They're going to have to go up again. But for every argument of like, this is demeaning, there's a fucking little person wrestler who is like, I want that spot. This is what I'm training for. This is what I want. Like, there's so many things that we can't do, and this is one thing that we can do and make a lot of money at, and now you're going to tell me I can't fucking do it because it's degrading? Degrading to what? My fucking rent? Fuck you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I completely agree with all of that. I think that, like, also, to be fair to Dinklage, like, people were saying, it's like, you know, it's not, he wasn't ranting and raving about it. He just sort of said, he just sort of was like, yeah, you know, it's a little stereotypical and a little disappointing. And I guess at the end he was like, but, you know, maybe they'll have an interesting take on it. Who's to say?
By the way,
he was like reasonable enough about it or whatever, but like,
yeah,
Disney, you just can't, with this type of shit, it's all, I don't know. All this has just gotten just so dumb. I feel like it's like, they just, what do? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Again, I don't think they should be making these movies anyway.
Right.
Like,
from an artistic standpoint,
something else. Yeah, right. But
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because in all of that, we are actually missing Peter Dinklage's ultimate point, which is like, he probably wouldn't even be saying this if there were little people cast as just regular people in movies that just like, they were cast as a person. And that wasn't even the whole point of their character. It's like, well, yeah, my friend is just a little person because they exist in society and therefore need representation. If that was happening on a large scale, he probably wouldn't even be saying this. But like, he's right in that regard, just the same way as like, there needs to be gay characters that are cast but being gay is not the whole point of the movie or the whole point. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, he's gay, whatever. Throw it away. Right. Like, same thing with little people. But if that was happening, I don't think he'd give a fuck. But right now, yeah, it seems like you're going to be a dwarf. Also, ain't they making Snow White black?
I think maybe Latina or something. I think they're making her brown or black or something. Which, like, again, I don't ever, like, when they made Ariel black or whatever, I was like, she's a fish. Who fucking cares? You know what I mean? But like,
Snow White's a little different.
This bitch name is Snow White.
You know what I mean? Her character is like, literally her skin was as white.
Yeah, that does. I have to say that makes it feel a little different to me.
It's way fucking different. And everybody knows really how we feel about all this. But like, but also, if you look, the Disney Princess game has actually been really good for representation for a long time. Like, they're not actually, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, in the 90s, you've got fucking, you know, Jasmine. They've got, I think the Frozen.
Pocahontas, bitch, like, Mulan,
the Frozen
Tiana.
Bitch is the first white one in a long time.
That's
so, like,
true.
It's kind of fun if you bring Snow White back.
I think Jasmine hits and Mulan hits and all that stuff. I feel like Pocahontas, some people are like,
yeah,
you know, because a lot of stuff, I guess.
There was
the
Princess and the Frog, too.
I said Tiana. That's her name, I think. Tiana, yeah.
Okay,
I never saw that movie, but I reckon it's pretty good. That was like their first big classically animated movie.
Yes, and I really wish it had been Pixar. I really wish it had worked more because I love that style of animation so much. Like, that's just, I mean, dude, like, obviously Toy Story blew my mind. I love that Pixar type, but I wish that, like, we'd get at least 4 to 5 movies a year that were just classic animation, like TV, cartoon, hand-drawn animation. I'm just like, and I know, listen, they're doing what makes money, so I fucking get it. But, like, don't you get nostalgic for, like, the cartoons that we knew? You about to make fun
of me? I'll
be
totally honest with you. I don't really miss them.
Really?
I'm fine with, like, you're not alone. A lot of people feel that way. I just,
Oh, you, I forget sometimes. You fucking, like, hate joy. Like, your childhood sucked, and so you're just glad to not remember anything from it, and that includes cartoons. Am I correct?
No, I'm a super nostalgic motherfucker. Like, I get crazy nostalgic.
But not for cartoons?
Dude, you got part of that, two things for me. I feel like I appreciate a lot of those cartoons more now than I did as a kid for two reasons. You got to remember who I am. Like, first of all, I know you had a little sister too, but I had a little sister, but also I,
you was like her daddy
as every time. No, my,
why do you say that?
No, you were, because you lived, your dad was a single dad a lot and you had, so you had to also parent. I didn't mean that your dad wasn't there for her. I just meant like you probably felt like you took more of a parental role because y'all were a little alone in the situation. That was not,
I don't know, maybe,
your father,
but that's not what I, this, right? That's not what I mean right here. It's kind of not the opposite, but like I was against almost anything that hit for my sister automatically, like just by nature. Like Paige was a little kid when Barney came out and she fucking loved Barney and I was 3 years older. So I was like, stuff's fucking stupid. You know what? Yeah. Like that. So that was part of it. But also, like, as I've talked about many times before on other podcasts and stuff, I thought when I was a kid, and I was a fat dork, but like up here, I literally, like I always say, I literally thought I was Good Will Hunting, you know, like when I got to be a teenager, I thought that, but I thought I was like, you know, just incandescently brilliant and all this type of shit. And so like, cartoons were like for kids, you know, and I always, even as
you're
a kid, I was
six.
Yeah. Yeah, like even as a kid, I was like, I don't do that kid shit. I'm a grown man. Now. I'm 7 years old or whatever.
So much you missed out on.
Yeah, but then I got to, later on, I acknowledged, like I remember like in high school and stuff, we would, like Thompson was a huge fan of like, maybe not high school, junior high or whatever, but like he was a huge fan of like Aladdin. We'd watch and rewatch Aladdin and The Lion King, and I had the video games of all those on Sega Genesis, and I love that shit. So it's not that I ain't got no love for those. I just, I don't know. Like, if they came out with a brand new classically animated 2D movie right now, like, for example, like,
before it.
Like Spider-Verse is unique close. It's close to, it's not like Pixar style, but it's also its own separate style, and it's super duper hits for me.
It is.
But if
I'm
came
fine
out,
with that.
If they came out with like a classically animated Disney style 2D movie, I honestly wouldn't really have any interest in it. Cool. If I heard it was great, I'd be like, okay, but.
Well, actually I'm kind of with you though on that. Like, and this is fucked up because like I love Pixar and I have nothing against them. I think it's that Pixar is so well defined that like, I just wanted something different. And like that amazing, like the Spider-Verse is in no way just regular 2D, but it is different than Pixar. Therefore, it hit for me. I think really what I want is something other than Pixar from time to time that doesn't have the circular sort of, you know what I mean? And I fucking love Pixar. But yeah, Spider-Verse, like, I'm cool with that becoming the new norm. That would rule. You know what I mean?
So how do you think you eliminate Kings from a bracket if you're not going to literally have them do a sword fight?
Okay.
Like if we're just talking about them. And also you got to realize all these kings, we're talking about living current kings and or queens. They're going to be old fuckers who like grew up just like Charles did. You know what I mean? They're all going to be like private school. Some of them might be partiers and horrors and stuff like that. I don't know. That could be interesting, but
okay, then we have to do it for a bracket of who's the hitness king, not who would win.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Who's the hitness king? So factors that we're including.
That I'm down with.
Of course, assets are going to be a big one. Now, granted, you have to go like, well, the more successful the king, the fucking more assets they'll have. So maybe not like the total amount, that's not a word, the amount of their net worth, but like, if one of them has like a crocodile with a saddle on it in their moat, like that's going to get some big points from me. You know
yes.
what I mean? Also, hot ass wife, that's going to get a big, you know, like if they're banging, or if it's a queen and she's like, you know, fucking looks like Selma Hayek, you get big points from me. And going back to what I just said, having a moat, that's going to put you above anyone that don't have a moat. Buckingham Palace don't have a moat. You know what I mean? And that was the thing that I was disappointed about the most, because I was like, look, I know that like y'all have got different ways of protecting the king and queen now, and maybe it's not as hostile, but like you couldn't just like, you know, have a moat with a couple fucking alligators and a drawbridge. Like, you know what I mean? Do you feel that way?
Yeah, that would hit. I don't know. I mean, yeah, if we find some actual current rulers out there that have a moat, yeah, that's going to hit for me.
For the next round.
That's going to hit for me for sure, because I'll be surprised, frankly, if we do. But that would hit. There's some dude, might have this wrong, but I think it's Jordan, not the basketball player, but the country of Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Do they hit?
I don't know what they are up to at all, and I could be wrong, but I think it's them. One of those countries over there has got a sultan. Or a king or whatever. And I think it's Jordan. And he's like reportedly a super rad dude who like hits and parties and stuff. And like he loves like
being black comedians. Also counts a lot.
He do what?
Being black also counts a lot.
I don't think he's black.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just letting you know. A black king is going to win for me because they're probably going to be cooler.
Yeah, he brown, I think. I think he's Middle East Arab.
That's what Sultan means, right? Sultan means king, but we're a brown country.
Yeah. Yeah. Desert king. but anyway, he likes like American pop culture and comedians and shit, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Russell fucking Peters hangs out with him a lot, right?
Russell Peters hangs out with him. And through Russell Peters, I think Segura met him and hung out with him or something. And so like, and they say he's just like, yeah, he just hits.
Well, maybe,
you know, I
do
guess.
You think,
he probably has dungeons filled with fucking peasants and whores and stuff, cuts people's hands off for all I know.
Okay,
I don't
but shit. Like,
but you really like,
you got to take the good with the bad, dude. When it
comes
to,
but you're going on here talking about like rulers, especially Middle Eastern rulers, be like, I hear he hits, and you find people load up the comments with does he?
Well, then we'll read the comments later. I think we got to ignore a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? Maybe not ignore it, just don't look for it. You know, like if I see it, okay. But if I don't look for it, yeah, like that's what the show will be about. Like we, you know, carry on, talk about how hard they hit, and then we'll get a bunch of smart marks in the comments being like, hey, actually, you know, that dude chopped a lady's head off with a fucking, what's them hats that Peaky Blinders have?
Yeah, I don't know what you call them.
Well, the one in James Bond? It wasn't Short Round. It was another guy. What he had to? God damn it!
Odd job.
Yeah, which he could throw his hat and cut a motherfucker in half. He did that to a lady. That put him down. But I maybe we would hit for this Jordanian king. You think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It depends. It would hit to find out that we did hit for him.
I think that needs to be another criteria. When we learn about these people's life, we look at them and go, would we hit for them? Like, cause there's some of them I can definitely go like, no, they wouldn't like our particular brand of whatever. But some of them like if we come across a silly king or queen, I'm going to love that. Like a silly king or queen would love us. We could make them the official monarch of putting on airs. I think they'd love that shit.
Okay. So I'm reading about Liechtenstein now.
Mm-hmm. Is that where Liechtenstein is? That's Germany-ish?
Somewhere over there. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's like between Germany and Austria. It's another one of them little bitty ass places.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere
like
in that general
position in Germany.
Germany adjacent. Yeah. But anyway,
Liechtenstein.
they're ruled by a prince, which is, I'm like, just call yourself a king. Like,
yeah, right. If you're ruling,
you're ruling. You're the dude in charge. Why are you still a prince? Don't make sense.
Is it because he has a dad?
His dad was a prince. His son is a prince. They're all princes. It's like they don't graduate to king over there, which I don't get.
See, like, he's down on the list for not respecting himself.
His name is Prince Hans Adam II.
That's pretty cool.
His full name is Johann Adam Ferdinand Alois Joseph Maria Marco D'Aviano Pius.
That's like the entire cast of The Sound of Music.
Yeah, Liechtenstein. So I'm reading here, and it says that, like, so he apparently his family, they're like the House of Liechtenstein, right? Mm-hmm. Who have ran Liechtenstein since like Elva, like 1200 or something like that. They've been running it. His family, his daddy was doing all that shit, I guess, if I'm reading this right. So on this part of his Wikipedia page where it talks about his powers, it says there was a referendum to he had a revision to the Constitution of Liechtenstein that he put forth, which would expand his own powers. So he was like, hey, y'all, I should head harder, right?
Yeah.
And that referendum passed by vote. So the people were like, you should head harder.
Yeah. Hey, hell yeah.
Because apparently, I guess he had threatened to resign and leave the country if they didn't vote for him to head harder. And instead of being like, well, good riddance, motherfucker, they were like, you got it. You hit harder now.
You do hit, yeah.
In July of 2012, there was a separate referendum to curtail the political power of the prince.
Did he say, he didn't set that one up, did he?
To cut it back. No, and I don't know who the other powers are. Maybe they got some kind of parliament or something, but see, he seems to have actual power, obviously. But there was a referendum to curtail the political power of the prince, and it was overwhelmingly rejected by the people of Liechtenstein. And then this is where it gets a little interesting to me. It says a few days before the vote, hereditary Prince Alloy, that's this guy's son, right? Announced Alois, A-L-O-I-S, Alois, announced he would veto any relaxing of the ban on abortion, right?
Well, hold on, say that again. I want to make sure.
Yes, I know. I did the same thing. I reread it like four times. He would veto any relaxing of the ban on abortion. So they have a ban on abortion. It was floated. Maybe we should relax this ban on abortion. He said, fuck no, never going to happen. Right. Not on my watch. And 76% of the people voting supported him in that decision. So Liechtenstein, they got their own thing going on over there, buddy.
They're more like Liechtensteinians.
Yeah, right.
He's not on the list.
Right.
Well, no, he'll have to be on the list. It's just that I know how I'm going to vote when he goes one-on-one with somebody. We'll have to seed it to where, like, he goes up against someone who also don't hit so that we have some sort of a fair, you know, contest, I guess. By the way, people, you know that puttingonairs@gmail.com is where you can send things. If you, especially if you're from a country with a monarch, because like we have listeners from all over the world. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yes, that is crazy. One that I'm familiar with, not really, obviously, since I just actually looked him up, but Monaco got brought up earlier.
Uh-huh. That's where they race.
Yes, it is. Monaco has a prince. All right. Do you know anything about the Prince of Monaco, or like what, when you think of the Prince of Monaco in your head, like what kind of images is that calling up?
I think of a man riding in a Ferrari with a tiger. That's what I think.
Right. And what does he look like?
He's like hot jet. Like he kind of looks like Stalin, like young Stalin. You remember young Stalin and how everybody's like, oh shit, I'd fuck that dictating ass son of a bitch. Kind of slicked back, dark hair. Good cheekbones,
dark skin, stubble, looks, tall, dark, always, and handsome.
He always looks wet, but in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wet looking fuck stick. That's what I think.
That is exactly what I also think of when I think of the Prince of Monaco.
Shoehorn dick, too. Sweaty shoehorn dick.
Absolutely. Don't even know where that came from. Anyway, I'm sharing my screen right now. Do you see that? Can you see that?
Not yet. It's Oh, fuck that. What?
Yeah, no. That is the Prince of Monaco.
Get the fuck out of here.
And his name is Prince Albert.
That ain't which is it. Fun. By the now, way, speaking of Prince Albert,
if y'all are only listening right now, Cho, how would you explain what this dude looks like?
Okay, this guy looks like, do you know when you're driving down the road and you look up at a billboard and there's a dude that's like, hey, are you paying this much for rent? You could just buy a house. And it's like, it's him and he's the one that's going to sell you a house or insurance. Yeah. It's that fucking guy. Or he's a liability lawyer from Arkansas. That's what this or fucking dude looks like.
So he kind of looks like, is it Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes, he's got a very Colin Robinson-y soul-sucking appearance.
Not like a Sex Panther look at all.
No.
Apparently his style, you know, they got like Royal Highness.
He's the president of the AARP. That's what he looks like.
Yeah. You know, they got like Your Majesty, Your Grace, things like that. Apparently his title, his title is styled as His Serene Highness.
I don't like that.
The Prince of Monaco, Albert II.
Well, I can tell you right now, he's out. All right. I don't give a fuck if he's got a moat. He's out. I don't like the cut of his jib. You know what I mean? There are people that's jibs you don't like the cut of, Trey. He's one of them for me.
Bro, I'm not going to read all of these, but that guy, this is his complete list of titles and styles in precedent of order of their rank. Okay. And again, I'm going to stop halfway through this. Sovereign Prince of Monaco, the Duke of Valentinois, the Duke of Estouteville, the Duke of Mazarin, the Duke of Mayenne, the Prince of Chateau Porcine, the Marquis of Beau, the Marquis of Chilly Mazarin, the Marquis of Gecard, the Marquis of Bali, the Count of Polignac, the Count of Calalade, the Count of Ferrette, Belfort, Thann, and Rosemont, the Count of Taranini, the Count of Longimune, the Count of Cledis, the Count of the Baron of Calvinet, the Baron of Bouy, the Baron of La Luthemire, the Baron of
even sauces now.
The Baron of Habib, the Baron of Altkir, the Baron of Saint-Lô, the Baron of Massy, Senor Isenheim, Senor Saint-Remy, and Sire of Matignon.
Okay, well,
all of those.
If we consider the amount of titles one has as a qualifier to this contest, I guess he's back in, because that's a lot. I didn't think
how
he could do that many dukes.
How do you have that many titles and be from that small of a little ass place? How they even got that many different places to be a count and a marquis and a duke of?
Right.
But this is actually related to something I wanted to ask you. Like, would it hit for you to be announced prior to entering a room? Yes. You know how they do that?
So, yeah. Fuck yeah. I mean, Drew announced me at my wedding as he said, Amber, do you take best-selling author Corey Ryan Forrester? You know that hits for me. But you're talking about like the actual man that walks in and goes, and now enter.
Yeah, the Duke of Mayenne, His Royal Highness, Prince Albert IV of Monaco. Like the guy who does that and then you walk in after him. Would you like somebody to do that?
Yes, but I wouldn't change how I live my life otherwise. I would just have them do that when we go to Outback Steakhouse. You know what I mean? Like when me and Amber walked in, I would like to have that fucking Alfred from Batman 89 looking motherfucker just walk in and be like, and now enjoying for the fourth time this week, the coconut shrimp, the Duke of Mayonnaise, Corey Ryan Forrester.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hit for you to have that?
No.
Because you don't want people to know who. You know what?
I don't want people to look at me.
I'm a little drunk. I'm not gonna lie. Now that I'm actually thinking about it, no, I would not like that because
imagine like especially if it's like a room full of fancy people, whatever. You get announced, they turn around and look, and you know there's gonna be people in there going like, "He don't hit."
You
know
what I mean?
And you're gonna be thinking about how they're thinking that.
Well, hold on now. If it's a room full of fancy people, I would want it. That way they would have to go, I guess he must
hit.
I guess
he hits. Yeah, right.
But I wouldn't want it like, because you're so right. Like, even though I'm such a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, Christofferson, in that I love spectacle like that. But at the same time, whenever me and Amber go eat, I pray to God ain't nobody there know who the fuck I am. So that nobody comes up to my table. You know what I mean? So like, no, I would like it, but only if I could use it when I wanted to. Like my 20th high school reunion. Yeah, that would fucking rule, you know?
What about music? Because those guys also like, they'd be like, and now, yeah, right. And they go, burr, burr, burr. Yeah, right. The fanfare.
I mean, if you're going to have one, you know, why not have the other?
Would you go with the burr, 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 or would you do your own thing? Would you have like a shredding guitar solo or something? Or,
I'd get John Williams, and I would get John Williams and Jason Isbell to compose a mixture of Freebird and the Darth Vader entrance. Like if you
That's awesome.
I'm crushing
it. That's a great idea. Yes, I love it.
I kind of did it good with my mouth.
Yeah, you did. Well, we ain't done nothing this week but bullshit, but that was fun to me. But if we're going to do airmail, we need to do it because I got 8 minutes left before
we do have some good airmail, Trey.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Hang on, no. BPP has sent us some stuff. Oh, damn, he's been sending us all kinds of shit. I'm sorry.
Damn, sorry, Dad.
I'm going to read these real quick. He says, once a year, all residents are invited to a party in the castle on Liechtenstein's national holiday. His Serene Highness Prince Hans Otto II, the head of state, and his son, His Serene Highness Hereditary Prince Aloy, invite the residents of their tiny principality to have a beer in the garden of Vaduz, the princely ancestral residence. They invite everybody in Liechtenstein to come get drunk at their castle or whatever. That's pretty cool, I guess.
That is
Switzerland
cool.
Unintentionally invaded Liechtenstein in March of 2007. I've heard this story before, I think. When about 170 Swiss infantry soldiers wandered across the unmarked border for more than a mile into Liechtenstein before realizing their mistake. The Swiss soldiers were armed with assault rifles, but no ammo, incidentally. Liechtenstein, which has no army of its own, admits that it didn't notice the Swiss invasion and had to be informed it had occurred. Liechtenstein ultimately chose not to retaliate against its famously neutral neighbor. Chose not to retaliate. Well, how the hell were they going to retaliate? They ain't got no army or nothing.
They don't got anything.
I fought in your general direction. You know, something like that. This is the last thing he sent us. One in three people who live in Monaco are millionaires. There are 12,261 millionaires per square mile in Monaco. At $186,080, it also has the highest GDP per capita in the world, second only to Luxembourg. Why do the wealthy love it so much? The combination of tax incentives, location, and luxury amenities is alluring. Monaco also has a poverty rate of zero. Most people who work in Monaco don't actually live there. More than 30,000 French and 5,800 Italian nationals commute to Monaco to work every day. So Monaco's like Aspen, but a country or something. So it sounds to me like.
Damn, BPP crushing it this week. And here we were just ignoring his ass the entire time.
Yep.
Well, let me get a couple airmails off, if that's okay. Subject line, on Whipping Boys. Hey, fellas, pleasure writing to you. I remember Whipping Boys. Okay. A whipping boy was mentioned in The Prince and the Pauper. I remember the whipping boy explaining to the prince, Pauper, what his job is, how he's supposed to get whipped, and how he's being paid for that, and even begging the, quote, prince, who was, of course, very reluctant to do bad things once in a while because it's all in a day's work. I did not know that was real. History's weird. Anyways, thanks, guys. Nick. Yeah, I can imagine reading Mark Twain and thinking, surely he just said this to, you know, fuck with people. Subject line, limerick, you can read my name. Also, correction of my own fuck up. This is from Aaron Hudson. I will read your whole name. Hey, fellers, I'm from South Carolina, born and raised, but living in the Boston area these days. She's a poet and don't know it. And after 10 years here, Boston is just as racist.
Yeah,
just as racist, if not more, than South Carolina. And I'm not just saying that to defend the South. The South has done some indefensible shit, no doubt, but Boston is nasty as hell, too. Anyhow, I was home visiting my family and dealing with some of the more stressful parts of that, but I listened on the flights to and from to POA and the Liberal Redneck Manifesto, and y'all helped me remember the things I love about the South and why I want to be part of building a better South. B.J. Barham. The stuff that B.J. Barham sings about. Anyways, here's my limerick. One is autobiographical. There was a gal from Caroline who was tired of very closed minds. She moved up north, they said, but it got up her red, and again for the Southland she pines. Number two, an ode. We grew up on racing, you see, cheered loud for the black number three. His life was cut short, but he still made the sport every wild red ass thing it could be. Hell yeah. Raise hell, praise hell. Yeah.
Praise Dale. That's right. Yep.
Number three, present company included. They call themselves Corey and Trey. Their friends and their haters call them gay. Me, I call them greats. As my queer ass states, they're welcome at Pride any day. Well, thank you so much for that, Aaron. That is lovely. And I'm going to have to cut this short since Trey has to leave. And I got to tell y'all, by the way, guys, hold on. Where's my shit here? Listen at that. Y'all need to go get our fucking book. It's called Round Here and Over Yonder. You can get it at TreyCrowder.com or CoreyRyanForster.com. But BPP will have the whole website there in the description, as well as the Discord. Dad, put the motherfucking Discord in there. All right, we have to. Trey, we have a Discord now, and we have people working on a fucking whole-ass Reddit page. So Round Here and Over Yonder. Trey, I've had fun this week. Did you have a blast?
Yeah, did hit. Go to TreyCrowder.com, get tickets, come see me too, by the way. I'm in Kentucky tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then all over the place after that.
Do you like this funky music?
I do, white boy.
It went away. All right, it love did. You, yeah. And y'all stay fancy.
Skew.
Skew.
Skew. Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.